Light beer, dark money. Agree on something. Politics, culture, and the intersection of faith, freedom, and free enterprise. And now, here are your hosts, Light Beer, Chris Clements, and Dark Money, Sean Noble.
Well, welcome back. I like the new intro.
Yeah.
Thanks,
nicely
Alex.
Done, sir.
Alex, our superstar.
Alex surprised us with the new intro, with the new background. That's fantastic.
Very good.
Good deal.
Okay, so we ranted was a week ago.
Yeah. We're ranting again.
Yeah, it's the 20, so the 21st, and we talked about how the Democrats were trying to get this deal done.
Yeah.
It's still not done.
Well, I mean, you had the president this morning outlining the new framework for a deal, which there's no bill. Nothing's been introduced.
Right.
Nothing's going to go through committee. I don't know how they're going to do this and keep it all together.
It's the kind of thing that it will come all together at the very last minute. Stuff will come out. Stuff will go in without anybody really knowing it. So we won't really know what's in the bill until after it passes. That tends to be the nature of Congress lately. I mean, this is Republican or Democrat.
This is what everyone hates about Congress. This is you know, backroom deals, smoky backroom deals. People, you know,
it's not smoky anymore.
Well, there's no smoking anymore. But that's the portrait that we give.
It's hazy.
And then Kyrsten Sinema just put out a tweet just like a second ago. After months of productive good faith negotiations, which she's been like the holdout along with Joe, with POTUS and the White House, we now have made significant progress on the proposed budget reconciliation package. I look forward to getting this done, expanding economic opportunities, and helping everyday families get ahead. So basically what she's saying.
If she's tweeting that, then they're close to a deal. Then. There's a lot of machinations over the last 48 hours. We had this billionaire tax, which was lauded and then shot down.
Yep.
You had, you know, all kinds of the millionaire's tax, which is, I guess, something that Sinema has, in theory, said she agrees with, which is, I think, a 3% tax, or maybe it's
a surcharge.
It's a surcharge over
like $5 million and above. I think it's of income.
Yeah.
And which
then, and then a little
okay,
bump
who's,
up.
Who's going to pay that? None of those guys are going to pay that. They're not going to get any money.
Well, they'll figure out how to. Right. They'll figure out how to. I mean, that's. That's why they have accountants and lawyers. It's one of the reasons that, I mean, this really goes to the whole argument of whether there should be a sales tax, national sales tax, or a flat tax.
A flat tax. One of my favorite bumper stickers was annoy the IRS, support the flat tax.
Yeah, because you could file it on a postcard.
Because you file it on a postcard, you might have one or two deductions for whatever that might be. What's been proposed in the past is mortgage and charitable deductions, and then you send it in.
Yeah.
And then everybody pays the same rate, and everybody gets taxed.
Right.
Right? So, you could have an exclusion.
You could do an exclusion so that you had to, you know, at 40,000 or
well,
something.
What's so disingenuous about all this talk about middle class tax cuts, 50% of Americans don't pay federal tax. 50%, 45 to 50%.
Right.
If anything, we keep pushing money down.
Well, that's the thing.
In terms of credits and everything else.
I remember when Bush did his big tax cut in 2003, I believe. One of the main talking points was we took 8 million people off the tax rolls. And I was like, well, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
And because if you're not paying into the system, what kind of skin in the game, even if it's a dollar, you know? But the thing that gets people who are the lower income side is the payroll tax.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you've got to, you know, if you're really going to help the middle class and lower income, you've got to figure out a way to reduce the payroll tax.
Well, it still ignores the fact that people like to talk about, you know, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. That give, you know, the rich need to pay their fair share. The top 10% pay 70% of the taxes in America.
Or more.
Probably. Or more. Probably yeah. 75.
I mean, at the federal level.
The Tax Foundation, the latest data that I saw mapping 2017 data was 70%, 75%. So how do you make up the difference?
Well, you've got to broaden the base. and just make it low for everybody. The key, so it'll be very interesting to see the Democrats, now that they've floated this billionaire tax, I think we're going to see that as a campaign issue in the primary, in the Democrat primary for president. Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
I don't think this is going away for, you know, forever, even just because Joe Manchin didn't like it and Kyrsten Sinema didn't like it.
There's a lot of people who think that billionaires just, you know, should pay their wealth. Yeah, their wealth away. And the billionaires' tax that they were proposing was a tax on the gain of on the unrealized gains of your assets, which from a IRS standpoint is a beautiful thing, because you don't need 85,000 IRS agents for something like that. You need like 100 and like less. Hundreds of thousands.
And you're just guessing. IRS agents. I mean, the thing is, I mean, look,
the where do you set the value?
Elon Musk, you know, made some comments about how he opposed this, and all the left went crazy. And I thought, you know, it's very interesting, because there isn't any individual that's done more for climate change.
Oh my gosh.
Than Elon Musk as an individual. And yet he opposed Biden's and this billionaire tax. So what it exposed was that the Democrats care less about climate change and more about soaking the rich. That, I mean, if you're going to attack Elon after all that he's done to try to help the environment, you have just shown us where your priorities are. It's not the environment. It is soaking the rich.
It's creating tax warfare, creating envy, creating, you know, this.
Well, what happened to, like, let's all work to be successful? I mean, there's not a finite...
Well, I mean,
the pie can grow. It's not one size. It's just because I've got more of the pie doesn't mean you can't have more pie.
Robert Reich, former labor secretary under, who was he labor secretary for?
Clinton.
I want to say Obama. It's going way, way back. So he brought up the point that Elon Musk, his company, paid no tax back in like 2018. Well, they didn't make any money. They haven't made money for years and years and years and years and years.
They barely started making money.
They've only started making money like last year. So it's just so disingenuous. And when you levy these taxes on these corporations, like they want a 15% minimum tax.
Right.
That every, you know, multinational corporation now has to pay this. They're going to find a way not to pay it.
Sure.
Sure they are. Whether it's through losses, whether it's through whatever they're going to do, they're not going to pay that tax. You're going to pay that tax.
Right.
You're going to pay it in higher costs for goods and services,
yes.
Or you're going to pay it in unemployment.
That's one of the thing other. That people fail to realize is that corporations paying a corporation that is taxed is not paying the tax. It's the consumers.
Yes.
Who pay more for their services.
Yeah. Inflation is a tax.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can see it as a tax. The rise of cost of goods and services impacts everyone in America.
And we've got serious inflation right now.
And guess what? The corporations that are raising their taxes, like Procter & Gamble just announced another price increase. That's number three just in this year. You're paying that.
Yep.
They're not paying that.
Right.
And if you're willing to pay it for your Gillette razors and for your Tide, which everyone is, because costs have been so low for long, so long.
Right.
So they're betting there's a lot of elasticity in the market.
There is.
So and there is.
Yeah.
So but
there's how a lot many, of pent how, up savings.
Yeah, pent up savings, a lot of elasticity in price. So, but how? Where's the tipping point? There's always a tipping point, and then that's when corporations start paying.
Well, I think the tipping point for the economy is going to be what happens, how big this package is, what it does to inflation, and, you know, when it actually gets signed into law and goes into effect. That will be the thing to watch. So,
or does it all fall to pieces
under its own weight? I don't think it's fall to pieces at this point. I think they're close enough. I mean, it's not going to look like what they wanted it to look like, which I think we predicted.
Yeah.
It's not going to be anywhere near the $3.5 trillion.
I still think the big question is, does Joe Manchin stay with party?
I think that's still a question.
After all this, and what happens this weekend, it could be a really interesting Halloween.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll be back next week. probably to talk about this again. We'll see what happens.
Yes, same dark money time, same light beer channel.
Thanks for joining us.